From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Cleveland police have released a video that shows a white officer shooting a black 12-year-old boy at a city park. From member station WCPN, Nick Castell reports the boy, Tamir Rice, had been carrying an air pistol.
Law enforcement officials say the low-quality video shows Tamir Rice holding the air gun as he walks around in the park. A while later, a police cruiser pulls up on the grass very close to Rice. Police say the video shows Rice reaching toward his belt line and doubling over as an officer emerges from the car. Deputy Chief Ed Tomba says the officer told Rice to show his hands as the cruiser pulled up.
His door was open as he pulled up, and he was yelling three commands. He yelled three times as they pulled up.
Police identified the officer who fired the shots as 26-year-old Timothy Lohman, a rookie who started with the force this year. Lohman and the driver, Frank Garmbach, have both offered statements to authorities. For NPR News, I'm Nick Castell in Cleveland.
The Environmental Protection Agency is proposing steps to cut levels of smog-forming pollution to up to 70 parts per billion. It's currently at 75. EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy says the move's based on alarming scientific studies.
The science clearly tells us that ozone poses a real threat to our health, especially to growing children and older Americans.
But industry groups warn the multi-billion-dollar annual cost to refineries and other businesses will make it nearly impossible for them to comply. The race to get out of town for Thanksgiving is in full swing for millions of Americans. The upside for drivers is that gas prices on average are still under $3 for a gallon of regular, but air travelers are getting hit with cancellations or delays because of too much rain or snow along the East Coast. Matt Sanipoli was stuck at the D.C. area's Reagan National Airport.
My son and I, Carter, came up here to just hang out in D.C. for a couple of days for father-son bonding and planned to be home this morning, but with the weather and all, we've gotten delayed twice now.
At the time, he was trying to get back to Raleigh, North Carolina. Other travelers like Ellen Crooks are trying to get to Washington, D.C., having already missed her first train, but she admits it was her fault.
I somehow slept through four alarms, but, you know, I needed that sleep, apparently. Going to take a zen approach to it.
Crook is expected to be among 46 million Americans projected to travel out of town for the holidays. After catching a lot of heat from congressional Republicans for taking executive action on a number of issues, today President Obama appeared confident that no one would argue with his decision to act unilaterally.
Today I'm taking an action fully within my legal authority. The same kind of action taken by Democrats and Republican presidents before me, to spare the lives of two turkeys, Mac and Cheese.
And it was Cheese who was named America's top turkey. Both came from Cooper Farms in Ohio. Before the closing bell, Dow was up 13 points at 17,828. This is NPR News. Seven police accused of beating a Hong Kong pro-democracy protester last month reportedly have been arrested for assault. Here's NPR's Frank Langfitt.
Cell phone video showed plainclothes police taking a demonstrator into a building after clashes in October near the city's main protest camp. The police then punched and kicked the man while he was lying on the ground and apparently handcuffed. The man turned out to be Kenneth Song, a social worker and member of Hong Kong's Civic Party, who served on the committee that elected the city's current chief executive. Video of the beating, which played on local TV, outraged citizens in Hong Kong, a wealthy former British colony. The assault arrests come as police have cleared a satellite protest camp in the city's Mong Kok section. They still have to clear the main camp in the Admiralty section, which has more than 2,000 tents. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Shanghai.
State media in Zimbabwe report the vice president has been ousted from her leading position in the governing party. NPR's Afebia Quist-Arkton reports.
Tongues began wagging wildly about the succession battle when Zimbabwe's first lady started public attacks against Vice President Joyce Mujuru. There's mounting speculation that Grace Mugabe is gunning to replace her husband as president by rapidly making her way up the ranks of his governing ZANU-PF party. Mujuru has been the target of sustained attacks in pro-government newspapers in Zimbabwe as factions within the party jostle for power in case 90-year-old President Mugabe should step down or die. The vice president was seen as a leading contender to replace him. Ofebia Quist-Arkton, NPR News.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.